Hey guys, this is Cole Liker.
Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
You are listening to the Unused Substitute.
The Unused Substitute.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I...
Ball's gonna bounce down, it's three in the box. Bicycle kick! Goal! Rowdies! What a play! What a shot! And it's 1-0 Rowdies!
Good evening, everybody. It's Thursday night, the last night of February. It's a little bit after 8 o'clock, and you are listening to the Unused Substitutes, the Rowdies Talk Radio, your green and gold gospel, live on Radio St. Pete, part of the Beautiful Game Network, and sponsored by Roughneck Scars. My name is Matt, and I am talking tonight to someone else who also has not been to Prague. Dan, how you doing?
I never said that.
I'm assuming.
You're right.
I've seen your passport.
I thought about trying to do a Michael Cohen impression to start this, but let's just not.
So I was home yesterday instead of being at work. While he's doing the testimony, I didn't take the day off for that, but my daughter was not feeling well. So, however, I did, rather than watch that, I just kind of followed along with it on Twitter, and my daughter and I were kind of binge-watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I listened to it all on, streaming the C-SPAN radio on my phone at work, and I would much rather have been binging Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Because honestly, it's a great show, but... I think I stopped really paying really close attention to it in mid season 2, season 3. So I'm getting caught up now.
Yeah, I haven't watched any of the new season, but it's good stuff. I love that show.
See, the new is we watched the first episode or two from the new season, and my daughter was like, "I got to go back and rewatch everything now." And she already did The Office and Parks and Rec last summer, and it's most of the same production staff. So I guess this is her. This is her niche now, I guess. But we sometimes talk about soccer, specifically the Tampa Bay Rowdies, since, we live in the area and that's kind of the local team. I guess we ought to do that tonight.
I suppose so.
All right. So kicking off our notes, the boys have gone and I believe come back from a road trip to Georgia, Statesboro, Georgia, to be more accurate. I played two games. They were back-to-back days, weren't they? It was, 24 hours apart against the new USL League One South Georgia Tormenta FC, or as they might have already renamed themselves, the South Georgia Alex Morels. Rowdies dropped that one 3-2, and then the next day played and beat Georgia Southern University 4-0. It's really kind of hard to take anything away from this because we didn't get to watch it. There's no real highlights. Leo and Hoppano scored in the game against Tormenta.
Hoppano.
Morel had two.
Oh, Hoppano.
Is that not? Did I not say that?
I said Hoppano.
Oh,
Hoppano.
So I just did a Hoppano.
Yes.
Okay. Hoppano had the goal, but we were down 2-0 in the first 23 minutes. It doesn't sound good looking at it on the internet, but I honestly don't know what to make of it without seeing anything.
It's preseason. I don't know if it was just since it was back-to-back games, just letting everybody get 90. I don't know. We scored some goals, which is good. I mean, that was my worry after watching the Suncoast Invitational. So it looks like we mm-hmm. do still have some goals in our system here. But without seeing it, and, you know, I think I can't really say much. I mean, they're playing, what, USF this weekend. So I think that's the last big tune-up. So I think that's the one to pay attention to lineup-wise.
The second game on Sunday, Brandon Allen had a brace. Juan Tejada got a goal, and I think this makes him a eternal trivia answer. TBU Academy player Dan Wintermeyer, I think it's the first like Academy player to score in like a preseason friendly, whatever. As far as we know,
Academy player, yeah, because the trialist that scored before was Tejada.
Yeah. So, there's one more match of season in Tampa taking on USF on Saturday, March 2nd. Kickoff is at 7 p.m. And tickets, I think, are like $10. You can buy them from USF. Are you you going to go to that one?
I haven't decided yet, to be honest. I don't know. I have no idea. We'll see where this has been a very rough work week, so I'm not quite sure how I'm going to feel on Saturday.
I'm going to be the U.S. women's are playing another second game in their in the Shebelees Cup, and it's like it kicks off at it's supposed to be 4:30, so that's going to mean you know more like 4:45, and you know if I left like maybe at halftime, you know maybe make it up there, but also knowing that my like family's going to be out of town this weekend and the whole house is going to be empty. That's a real tempting thing too. I might just come home and follow it on Twitter.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. We'll see how I feel Saturday.
Yeah, it's been one of those weeks too. We do have some sound clips, I believe, from the Georgia trip. We've seen some Snapchats. We've seen some postings online about some group activities where they were there was like mini golf and there was bowling and a little bit of player rookie karaoke or something, but you've got some clips from some of the players talking about their impressions of the trip. So what do we got?
We have Dom Maduro or Tejada. Who would you like to hear first?
So this is Dom Juan.
Yes,
I like this. This is a good combo, Dom Juan. Let's go with Dom first.
All right, here we go.
I want to ask about the recent trip to Georgia, how things went, because the supporters and the fans didn't really have a chance to see you guys, so we're all kind of curious how things went for you guys in Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was good. You know, as a team, we really played well. We kept the ball. The problem was we were not taking our chances, and we have to work a bit more on our defending part. So, I mean, we are really in a good shape, and we just have to work more on our defending.
And I imagine just kind of going on a trip away with the team, when there's so many new guys in the roster, give you guys a chance to, you know, bond a little bit before the season starts.
Yeah. I mean, that was a good trip. Apart from the hours being long, you know, staying long on the bus. But it was a good trip. We're getting to know each other very well, and of course, we shared the rooms with different people other than usual to get to know each other and each other a bit more about each other. And I think we are on the right track.
And that's it from
all right. Yeah, I'm choosing to interpret that little laugh as there's some stories it doesn't necessarily want to share. Before we go too deep in the episode too, I want to give a shout out to Jake for like killing it this week on some of the content, because we didn't even know about these two clips until today. But put an article up yesterday interviewing Tejada, and then we've got audio that we're gonna play later with Steinberger. So this is a I think Jake's already a man of the match for this week.
I mean, he's player of the season, right? Every year.
I mean, basically.
But yeah, I mean, I was a little, we didn't really have much content for this week since we didn't get to see any games. We just had games and we signed a goalkeeper, our third goalkeeper. And that was about the news we had. But then Jake came in clutch.
All right. So let's hear what Juan has to say.
What can you tell me first about this trip to Georgia that you guys just went on? Because the fans are curious, man. We're a little anxious. We didn't get to see you guys out there in Georgia. So what can you tell us about that trip?
Okay, yeah, it went super well. I think, like, we, even though we lost the game and won another, like, the things we did outside the field, it brought us together as a team. We did a lot of team activities and really got to know each other and really built those relationships that are going to be important for the season. And other than that, the games, I think, we look pretty well, pretty good. We could have won the first one as well. And there's very good stuff that we can get out of it. And definitely we will learn from those two games and the trip to Georgia.
And that's it.
All right. I will say, going back to Dom's, I'm a little nervous when I hear we got to work on taking our chances. Cause I mean, this has been an ongoing theme, like stretching across seasons.
I mean, yes. Especially when they're
preseason.
Especially when they're away from home.
A lot of new guys learning to work together, so I'm going to hopefully chalk it up to that for now and not have to keep going back to that too long into the season.
So my question now, before we go any further, is what week do we cap the it's early in the season and they need to gel?
Let's look at the schedule real quick. I think that plays a role in it too. Let's see. First game on the road. I'm going to assume that's turf. I don't know. Two home games in the first month. End of March. Like, and that's four games, and even that's starting to feel like maybe that's too much. Like, they've had a legit preseason. They've had these guys in well, even before they were announced. These guys have been in and been training. Like, I guess the farthest I'm going to give that is end of March. Like, you've got two road games with Memphis and back in the East for this year, St. Louis, and then home games against Pittsburgh and Loudoun United, who I don't think have more than like three or four players under contract right now. So, yeah, that's it.
I say week three. If we're not doing well scoring goals by week three, the excuses are over.
Fire everybody?
Not fire everybody, but time to look at things. But I have faith going into the season. I don't want to make that sound negative. I am excited.
And the fire everybody was sarcastically. I know sometimes some people listen and don't catch the sarcasm, but that was totally sarcastic.
We're straight shooters. That's probably a line I should not use because that's a anyway. We're pretty straight laced. We don't have humor on the show. It's all seriousness and no sarcasm and 100% real all the time.
Straight. That makes us El Paso fans, right? If we're straight shooters, isn't that what they are?
Are they? I don't know. I don't know anything.
I don't know. They've changed their. Their supporters groups change their name about as much as whatever Jacksonville's group has been. I don't know. But it seems like it seems like a good area to have someone gallivanting around with little pistols going bang, bang. There's another joke I really could make here, and I'm really not going to. So anything else about the Georgia trip to go and talk about?
No, I hope they really don't have to go back to Georgia. Nobody likes Georgia.
I mean, unless we have to go on the road for Open Cup.
Burn it down again.
Yeah. Was there any other possible, I mean, you know, I heard both Juan and Dom say they could have played better. They could have won the game. Was there a more Rowdies outcome than Alex Morrell getting a brace to win the friendly?
I'm just gonna go with Neil told them to let that happen as a consolation prize and move on.
It was Alex's birthday or something coming up, so you know they wanted to get him going in the right frame of mind this year or something.
Yeah, Neil's a great guy. He just wanted Alex to get going for the season, so he let him score a few and get some confidence back.
He cares so much about his players that he takes care of them even after he cuts them.
Exactly.
Neil's a hell of a guy. All right, so the other news that came out, yesterday, 2 days ago, the roster is now complete, and we can talk about this for a little bit too. They went and got an old guy compared to everybody else.
Oh, yeah, he's ancient.
Now, you spotted him at, I think actually he lives down in this area too, like in my neck of the woods. You saw him at, the first Suncoast game?
Yeah.
All right, so the last member of the roster, the opening day roster, is now complete with the addition of goalkeeper Chris Konopka, 33 years old, the only player on the roster older than 28, has played professionally in 5 countries, including finishing the 2017-18 season with promotion-winning champion EFL Championship side Cardiff City, has played at 6 different MLS clubs, Sporting Kansas City, Columbus Crew, New York Red Bulls, Toronto FC, Portland Timbers, and Minnesota United, has played overseas in Ireland, winning the league and the cup, won the cup a couple times, and the Scottish League Cup back in 2015-2016. So he's got some experience. We've got a little more veteran leadership on here. He's the third sign, but I gotta imagine he's the backup.
Yeah, I would probably say he's our straight backup there. He's talented, obviously, from going by his track record. But I think Lord Helmet will be our starter.
Yeah, and then with him, you've got a guy with his experience, and he can kind of work with both of them. But I'm sure Robinson will get some benefits from him in training and stuff like that. So now we've got 3 keepers. 7 defenders, 7 midfielders, 7 forwards. Makes my OCD feel okay, but I know there was some discussion online about if this was the right approach. Can you talk about that a little bit?
I mean, we've always carried 3 keepers. I mean, it's pretty standard. I think there's a little worry, not so much about keeper and whatnot, but about some defensive depth, which I half get and I half don't. I think we have plenty of center backs on the roster, including guys that are versatile enough to play center back, even if it's not their normal position. But I can, I think I said it early on when we were going over the roster that, we're a bit shallow left and right back, and having 7 strikers is a bit weird. And usually we carry, I think the 7 is probably about where we were defensively previous. It's just the distribution's a little different. I think where we're lighter than normal is midfield. I feel like in years past we carried too many midfielders, too many cooks. Anyway, and 7 we always carried 3 to 4 strikers, but Neil's covering his bases apparently, and has signed 7. I don't know. I'm less upset about, I'm not upset about any of the roster, actually, but I'm not concerned about 3 keepers because you never know what might happen. Knock on wood, nothing bad happens, but we remember the Diego Restrepo incident, and you don't want to see, we were in a bind and then signed Matt Pickens, and then there's the year he got, stepped on in the neck in preseason. So you got to cover your bases there and have a full complement of keepers. I don't know. There's some discussion, and obviously everybody has their own style, their own ideas on how a roster should be built and how we should play and this, that, and the other, which is what I love about this game. It's why, partly why once a week we come, we meet online and talk about it. It's a sport that has you can constantly have discussions and ideas, and everybody's is different. Everybody views it different. Everybody has their own tactics and ideas, and I think this is just one of those things. Roster makeup is fun preseason talk, and let's see how it plays out in a week.
So I'm kind of thinking maybe this this Georgia trip was to avoid any future goalkeepers punching defenders and situations like from last year. Yeah, it's I'm good with the defenders. I'm good with three keepers. And the more I thought about this, reading some of the conversation you guys were having, like we've had some pretty bizarre set of circumstances the last two, maybe three seasons in terms of injuries, incidents, whatever. That three keepers is a smart idea, especially like Robinson, I think, is obviously a guy for the future. And so you've got guys like Konopka and even McCarthy in here to you know, put you know, for him to push and to push him in training as well too. So I'm okay with that. And you're not going to see him on the bench too much, I bet, unless, you know, maybe for Open Cup, some of the early round games before we inevitably progress to the final this year. But the seven forwards thing is kind of weird, but we've had so many times where we've had, you know, three or four forwards and like no one scoring. So I guess at this point they're just, you know, we're going to find someone to score from up top somehow.
Can I just, everybody keeps saying that Robinson is young and the kid for the future. He's only 2 years younger than McCarthy. He's 25. Like, he's not a kid. He's not. Like,
but I mean, just in terms of his playing experience, I mean, he's McCarthy's coming from Philadelphia Union Bethlehem Steel, and Robinson's coming over from New York Cosmos B. Like, he's not, you know, not too far off age wise, but I think there's a distinct difference in experience.
I mean, he played on loan, after one appearance in Pittsburgh. He played in five matches for North Carolina. He's got experience. Like, he's a 25-year-old keeper. I mean, he's not, like, you know, super experienced, but, like, he's not Matthias Reneris, you know, who is 19.
No, he's not that, but he's also not a guy with it. Like, we're not even considering that he's would be pushing for the starting role this year, though, either.
I mean, I think McCarthy is a big talent, which is why I think if you would have given me Robinson with Akira and Cody, I would probably say he was pushing for a spot on that roster.
Speaking of Akira, did you see he signed with Richmond?
I did not.
Yeah, Akira went to Richmond. There was something else. I saw the Nano thing. Nano's taking an assistant coaching job at his old college.
Yeah, but
there was someone else I saw sign somewhere. I forget who it was. I'll have to go back and check and see. But yeah, the Akira thing popped up earlier this week. So good for him. He's got a spot, and is probably gonna. I'd assume he'd probably be the starter there. I don't know.
I would hope so. He's a talent as well.
Yeah. Maybe would take one or two forwards away and you know, maybe add another midfielder or so, but I don't know. It's so hard to tell, because like I feel like we're so, I don't want to say like trigger shy because of the last couple of years, but it's just like, and I don't want to, you know, make a baseball pun just because of the Rays ownership, but like we're definitely covering all our bases.
Yeah. And you know, I hate to say this, but if things start going awry with seven forwards in a league like USL, you probably have some trade bait.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
If anything goes south elsewhere, you have some trade bait if needed. And I hope not. I really hope everybody stays healthy and everything, you know, goes the way it should, and we win the USL Cup and we can make fun of Louisville and the rest of the league. But, you know, let's play a game first.
Well, we'll see what happens as far as our inevitable march to the double of Open Cup and USL Cup glory this year. Speaking of double, there will be the USL put out their game of the week matchups this year for this year, and the Rowdies have two games on national television, which is kind of cool. First one is May 8th, playing at Nashville. And then August 21st at North Carolina FC. The Nashville game will be on ESPN2, and North Carolina is ESPN News, if I remember correctly.
I believe so. Yeah.
By the way, did you see the rumors that North Carolina is going to be Cincinnati's affiliate?
Oh, please do that for me. Please, 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 please.
So that'll be interesting. Supposedly they've been in negotiations with several teams, and like you can just hear like every USL fan clicking the link to see and then exhaling when they go, not my team, thank God. We did get some more details this week as the Kanapka signing was announced. Then had a couple emails hit the old inbox. There is a season kickoff party, just like there was a goalkeeper. I guess we'll say never in doubt. It'll be on Wednesday, March 13th at the Coliseum, and it's like it doesn't like straight out say it, but at the bottom it's you've got to RSVP and you can RSVP for as many season tickets as you have. So apparently this is a season ticket holder only event, and I believe we're both going to be there that night.
We should be. I hope to be. We will continue to negotiate that.
Is this is going to be the kit reveal too, right?
I don't really think there's any kit to reveal.
You never know.
I mean,
did you see St. Louis is using our third kit as their home kit this year?
We have a third kit? Yeah.
The one from last year, the green and white one. So yeah, that'll be dress casual, food and drinks, and mingle with the players and the staff and stuff. So if you are not a season ticket holder, we will be there and try and bring you our thoughts about it at some point. So I'm kind of excited for that. It's like a couple days before my birthday, so you're gonna have that. Then you're gonna like going right into the weekend, so right into the first home game. Well, yeah, no, it wouldn't be the kit reveal because we're gonna play a game the weekend before.
Yeah, I mean we did that last year.
We'll at least know what the away kit looks like. Yeah, I remember they announced the away kit. I remember now. Yeah, they posted it out there. I'm gonna skip over that next thing because we've already decided that's a non-starter. How sweet it isn't. Going back to the Jake content tonight, Jake sat down on the other end of the internet from Zach Steinberger the other day and got a nice little chat with him. So let's load that up, and I haven't even listened to the whole thing yet. So hopefully Jake cut it back on all the F-bombs.
I'll try to censor Jake as much as I can, but I can't. No.
You know, it's so hard to keep up with him.
I know. This rookie doing interviews for us. I mean, what are we going to do?
All right, let's listen to Jake and Zach.
Hey, good. How you doing?
Pretty good. I think I can hear you now. Bit of a rough patch there.
All right. Cool. Great. Yeah. Thanks.
How's it going?
For taking the time. Awesome, man. I'm happy to have the chance to talk to you.
Yeah, no, happy to be on.
Great, yeah. Kind of first off, just kind of want to get your thoughts on the team's recent quick trip to Georgia, how things went since the fans didn't have a chance to see what happened. Just want to get the players' perspective on things.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good little preseason trip to Georgia. I think it was important for us to get away as a group and connect off the field as well as on the field. I think the big takeaway from us was just having a weekend together where we can, be around each other. And the more things that we can do off the field together, I think will contribute to a better chemistry on the field. Obviously the result Saturday night wasn't great for us, but, you learn a lot more from the defeats than you do the wins. So I think it's important for us to have those setbacks now as opposed to in the season. And then we rebounded really well on Sunday, obviously against a little bit more of an inferior opponent, but still it's good to implement some of the things that we've been working on all preseason and kind of see that take hold in a game. So all in all, it was a really good preseason trip. And I think the guys, for the most part came together and we connected a little bit more off the field, like I said before, and I think that's hugely important in building a successful team.
Yeah, definitely. You mentioned the importance of bonding. Did you know anyone on the team or on the staff maybe from a previous experience?
No, actually, to be honest, this is the first team I've ever been on since becoming a professional that I didn't that I hadn't shared a locker room with any of the guys before. So it was kind of a new experience for me. But I mean, credit to the coaching staff. They put together a really, really quality group of guys. You know, no huge egos on the team whatsoever. Everyone is very, you know, very hardworking, very, you know, blue collar in the sense that they're willing to work for the man next to them. And I think the more guys you can have like that in the team, you know, the better over the course of the season you'll perform. And, you know, so huge credit to the coaching staff and the front office for putting together such a, you know, a really, you know, high character group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I'm kind of curious what sold you on the Rowdies to come to Tampa Bay, because I'm sure a guy who's had your level of productivity had some options. So I'm just kind of curious what mm-hmm. sold you on the Rowdies this offseason.
Oh, I mean, the Rowdies it's such an easy decision. I mean, the name, the Rowdies itself holds so much weight, you know, playing for one of the most storied franchises in soccer history, in U.S. soccer history. I mean, that in it itself was a determining factor. Obviously the area is fantastic. And, you know, I've played against the Rowdies a handful of times, you know, throughout the NASL and USL, and you know, I've always loved coming down here. I went to high school at IMG in Bradenton, so I know the area fairly well. You know, my sisters are both going to Florida schools. The older of my two younger sisters went to UF, and my youngest sister is going to be a freshman at USF actually in the coming fall. Mm-hmm. So it all just made sense.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned that you went to the IMG Academy. I was going to ask you about that. How important do you think those years were in your sort of development? Cause that was about 11 or so years ago now when you were still a teenager.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly right. I mean, it was huge for me. I mean, there's so much, that was at a time when, you know, the development academy had, you know, just started, and it was, you know, so the level of competition you had as a teenager in high school was abysmal to say the least. So in order mm-hmm. to really gain an advantage on players in your age group, you had to, you know, give yourself as much marginal gains as possible. And to be at IMG Academy, where we had everything laid out for us, proper nutrition, training every day, which, you know, for a lot of kids across the country at that time was really difficult just to get training every day. And not only were we getting, you know, training every day, we were getting high quality training from some of the best coaches in the States at the time. We had, you know, we had fitness sessions, and actually, ironically enough, my fitness coach at IMG was Blaine Bott, who was the performance coach at the Rowdies last year. So, you know, I've got a lot of connections with the Rowdies, you know, throughout my time in Florida. So it was a huge advantage for me. And to be honest, I don't know if I'd be here where I am without that experience at IMG.
Yeah. I was actually talking to, Juan Tejada, your teammate, yesterday about, his experience mm-hmm. coming from Panama to IMG. He said it greatly, mm-hmm. Helped him out too.
Yeah. And like, to be honest, the IMG that Juan went to and the IMG I went to are completely different. You know, I went to the IMG Academy when we had, you know, one little, you know, dining area, you know, one set of apartment buildings that weren't even really apartment buildings. They were just kind of like, you know, rundown areas. And now the IMG Academy, you know, it doesn't just have three soccer fields. It has 27 soccer fields and, you know, a hotel and, you know, luxury condos. I mean, it's a whole different animal.
Yeah, I know. I've heard. So obviously some Rowdies fans have some knowledge of you from the past with your time with Jacksonville, where you had some great success.
Yeah.
And but maybe some don't weren't following the team at that time or just don't know. So can you just give us a sense of your kind of style as a player and how you might fit in with what the Rowdies are trying to do this year?
Yeah, you know, I mean, if anyone has ever seen me play, they can attest that I'm just, you know, I'm a ball of energy. You know, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to, I'm going to, you know, work as hard as I can for as long as I can. And what I will say is, you know, I'm usually, if not the most fit guy on the team, I'm, you know, on the field at that time, I'm really close. You know, you'll see me, you know, making runs, chasing down players, and in the middle of summer in the 90th minute, you know, when no one else can. And that's, you know, kind of my competitive advantage over everyone else, is that, you know, I've just got an unbelievable stamina, you know, and I'll always outwork my opponent. So for anyone that, you know, comes to a game this year, they'll definitely attest to that. And, you know, I can't wait for the season to get started and to show the Rowdies fans what I'm all about.
Yeah, so looking back at last year just a little bit, you kind of, a little bit of a homecoming, a little bit, go back to Indy where you went to college with Butler.
Mm-hmm.
Things don't exactly work out the way you were hoping. Just one goal, and then you end up being loaned out to North Carolina where things turn around for you quite nicely. So can you just kind of look back and reflect on last year a little bit and maybe your mindset going into this season?
Yeah, you know, like you said, the last year in Indy was, honestly, it was a huge learning year for me, because before that year, I always kind of saw myself as a plug and chug type of midfielder that can do it all. But, you know, after trying to play as a more withdrawn center mid in the Indy 11 system, it was just, you know, it just didn't work for me. And then I went to North Carolina and I got to play as more of an attacking minded center midfielder. And, you know, I was able to compile, you know, a bunch of goals and assists and only a handful of games. So, you know, after that experience, I really learned that, you know, I'm just not the plug and chug midfielder I thought I was. I'm at my best when I'm, you know, running at the back line, finding pockets in front of the back line and making late runs in the box and scoring goals and getting assists. So I'm excited that I'm in a role here in Tampa where we're going to play an attacking style of soccer. And I think the fans are going to love it. I know I'm going to love it because it's going to give me an opportunity to score as many goals and get as many assists as possible.
Yeah, that's exciting to hear. Because obviously I remember you from the Armada, like pretty much as soon as you started getting minutes with them, I think that was back in 2016. They kind of just turned around instantly. And then in 2017, you had a great year as well. So, I mean, it's kind of good to hear that you might be getting back to that kind of stuff.
Yeah. No, I mean, obviously, you know, I've been very, very lucky to be a part of some really great teams, and I don't think Tampa's any different. I think, you know, from my little litmus test of preseason that I've had, it's a really special group with a coaching staff that's doing everything the right way, and a front office that is, and a support staff that's completely behind us. So I have no doubt that it's going to be, you know, a really, really exciting year.
So I wanted to get your thoughts on the recent developments of the formation of the USL Players Association and that kind of starting to start up. I know they recently had some early meetings at the USL front office. And as someone who's played at a number of clubs in the lower divisions now for years, I mean, how important do you think this development is for just players, young players, or any players really in the domestic game here?
Oh, it's so important. It really is. It's going to set a foundation for us as players to grow. And honestly, it's important for the league as well. You know, the league needs the players to set an established groundwork so that way they, you know, they can grow, you know, and see the tangible, you know, growth of the league from the player side, and not only, you know, the amount of clubs or the amount of players or, you know, sponsorships, things of that nature. You know, when the players are happy and the players are taken care of, and, you know, then you're going to have a much better product on the field. And I think the Players Association is a huge way for us to make sure that from the player side, we have everything that we need so that we can go out and perform and, you know, create the best product for the league, for the owners, you know, on the field every Saturday night, which in turn is going to, you know, create an even better environment for future clubs and future owners to want to invest in the league. So all around, I think it's a huge step forward for soccer in the U.S., especially for the championship. And, you know, I think the sooner we can get something ratified and agreed upon by the masses, I think that'll just, it's just going to lay a huge groundwork for all the players and the future owners and the league itself. And, you know, I'm so excited to see, you know, that take place.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, one of the things I know a lot of Rowdies fans were grateful for the past few years is sort of that level of investment that Bill Edwards put into the team, kind of investing in players and taking care of them in certain ways. And it'd be really nice to see that spread out across the league and all lower division soccer, really. I mean, I imagine like the instability that has been part of lower leagues in this country has got to have an effect on just the players' minds. And obviously it must affect the development when you just, there's leagues coming and going, teams coming and going. You never know. I mean, not every team is paying necessarily a living wage. It's got to affect their mindset.
Oh, for sure. And that's not even the biggest thing for me. You know, the minimum salary is, you know, not even one of the main concerns, you know, for the players union at the very beginning. Obviously it's a bargaining point, but I think the most important thing for us to remember is that we've just got to make sure that the league itself is going to stick around. And, you know, however we can work together to make sure that, you know, contracts are honored and there's still going to be a product 2-3 years down the road. I mean, that's the biggest problem in U.S. soccer, you know, in past and current history, unfortunately, is that leagues and teams are folding left and right. If we can make sure that we limit the amount of teams that fold and especially the amount of leagues that fold, you know, I think it's just going to, you know, we're going to be able to grow as a collective unit so much better, as opposed to, you know, keep getting knocked down 2 or 3 pegs every time a team folds, every time a league goes under. I mean, it's terrible for the growth of U.S. soccer. It sets us back so much. So I think, you know, the union is a huge way to make sure that we can, you know, keep the growth trending upwards as opposed to the other way around.
Right. Yeah, definitely. So I wanted to ask you about this tweet that was brought to my attention that you put out a little while ago, a little partnership you have with this group called Eat Right.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about that, what the deal is with that.
I collaborated with a meal prep company. You know, I was talking with certain meal prep companies in the area just because I wanted to, you know, make sure and have the best nutrition available throughout the season. And I got in touch with Eat Right, and, you know, we started talking, and they had such a great vision for how we were going to work together this season. You know, we're going to donate 500 meals to those in need every time the Rowdies win a game. And you know, when I heard that they were willing to do that, you know, it became so much more than just a, you know, a collaboration effort on my part. It became, you know, like a way of really giving back to a community that, you know, is going to give me, you know, a home. So I was so excited when I heard that. And, you know, I'm so excited to be working with Eat Right this season, and their meals are fantastic. And, you know, they're trying to, you know, do everything right. So I'm excited to work with them.
Great. That's great to hear. All right, Zach, I think that's all I've got for you. Again, awesome to talk to you. Really appreciate your time. And like I said, I'm a huge fan of you in the past. I mean, when you were with the Armada, I always rated you really highly. So I'm really excited to see what you do with the Rowdies now.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate it. And thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks again.
And we're back.
So he says in there at one point that if you've never watched him play, like you'll get the idea in like the first few minutes that he's like a giant ball of energy. I kind of already got that just from listening to him and Jake start the interview off.
Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious. I mean, from watching him in the Suncoast Invitational and whatnot, and even his Twitter, it's entertaining. He's a good addition to this team, it seems.
Yeah, so I don't know. I remember him vaguely with the Armada, just because I think we were there for one game, but I don't know how much we can recall because it was so long ago. Of course, that's why.
Yeah, I mean, it was forever ago. that's why I don't remember the Jacksonville game or him ever being in Jacksonville.
That's totally why. It has nothing to do with anything else.
It's, you know, I'm getting old. My brain doesn't work.
So that was cool. Hopefully we'll get Jake and sit down with some of the other new guys and get some good info out of them. I didn't want to, I hadn't forgot, but I just hadn't been thinking about the the Eat Right thing, which I think is kind of cool. You know, we've seen some of the players get involved in some charitable things in the past. But he's like, you know, kind of before he even really got involved, you know, too much in the team. Because, you know, it was after the signing, but before they really started, you know, gearing up for the season. He's already getting involved with some local charities, which is kind of a cool thing. Now let's just make sure they win some games, because 500 meals a win seems like a pretty large amount. That's kind of cool.
I think it's a pretty awesome thing there. I love it.
So the only other thing I had on the I almost said the menu, the agenda. We did this last year. We had we mentioned it at the end of every episode. We have a Patreon account for people to if they're interested in supporting the show on like a monthly basis at different I guess prices, values, whatever, and we try and provide some something outside of just the show that makes it kind of worth their while. We had someone anonymous. If we said who it was, it wouldn't be anybody you didn't know. But wanted to sponsor a year long patronage at the $10 level. Did it last year. We chose Carlos, who I gotta say did an excellent job getting his prom date. Very proud of that. Did you see the sign?
Yeah, I thought that was awesome.
That was very cool. So obviously, whoever you know we pick, this the life turns around for them, you know, and they have an amazing year because you know, Carlos had a pretty good year, and I'm pretty sure it's all down to us. We had a couple names we talked about. We've mentioned it online. I've seen some people retweet it. I don't know if it was they were hoping to get their names put in the mix too. There's a lot of good candidates, but in the end, there was only one, and it seemed like a natural choice. And when we told the mysterious benefactor, they thought it was an excellent choice as well. Dan, I'm going to let you introduce who it is this year.
Who did we decide?
He might be listening right now.
I would hope so. I mean, he's usually yelling at us when about a show.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I guess you could say my better looking doppelganger.
This is true.
Yeah.
Definitely. He's at least in better shape.
But better looking, better shape doppelganger who serves his country. Kevin, you are our benefactor. What would we call it? We should have discussed that.
I had something in my head like when I'm listening to the Zach interview about how I was going to phrase this. Bonus patron? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean.
But congratulations, Kevin. Yes. You've won the year-long sponsorship. Now, it's for some reason when we did this with Carlos last year, I was able to have it show up on the site so that he was able to like log in and do stuff from there. And this year I couldn't make it work out. So like the money's just like the entire amount's been deposited directly into our account, but Kevin, we'll figure out a way to make this, so you can access the things. And we're still in the process of, revising and hopefully upgrading what the perks and the levels are going to be. And we'll have that hopefully ready soon. We should have that. We need to get that done before like the kickoff party. That's my goal.
Yeah,
we'll sit down and figure it out. Still there?
I think so. Can you hear me?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Anything else we want to throw out there?
I think that's it.
All right. So again, thanks to Dominic Duro, thanks to Juan Tejada, thanks to Zach Steinberger for getting onto the show. Good to hear some new voices. And thanks to Jake for making it all happen, and thanks for the Rowdies for facilitating and everything. That's it. So we love yous.
Let's go with I don't know. I never think of one until I'm put on the spot, and I don't have anybody this time. Let's just go with Kevin.
All right, you can go get. I'm going to go with Jake.
That works.
That works too. Definitely two people who are always need some recognition and deserving it. If you'd like to hop on to our Patreon account and support us on a going ongoing basis, it's patreon.com/unusedsubspod. If you can give us a rating and review wherever you listen to this, if you're listening to the podcast version, you can lie and say something above 2 stars. We'd appreciate it. Puts us out there in front of other people who may be interested in the weirdness that we have. Thank you, as always, to Wolfface for the theme song, to Radio St. Pete for the platform. And thanks to our sponsor, Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier of MLS, USL, and U.S. Soccer. Get custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. Dan, we're all done.
Yeah, I should probably do the whole, you know, play the theme or the outro thing, shouldn't I?
Yeah, play that music, Dan.
The rowdies are the king of the grass and the